ای فدای آن همه عطر و بوی تو، هر زمان دل می کشد پر به سوی تو، هر کجا پا می نهم سر فرود آرم، قبله گاه من شده خاک کوی تو.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Sohrab Behdad, who is a professor of economics at Denison University, Ohio. He taught at the Faculty of Economics in Tehran University from 1979 until 1983. And from 1992 to 1995, he was the chair of the economics department at Denison University and was president of the Middle East Economics Association, and is now co-chair of the Middle East Economics Association's Committee for Human Rights and Academic Freedom. He's also been on the editorial board of the International Journal of Middle East Studies and associate economic editor of Middle East Studies Association Bulletin. Welcome to Background Briefing, Sohrab Behdad.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I'm very happy to be with you.
So you're obviously in touch with people in Tehran. And what is your understanding of the protests that took place largely around the central bank and around the central bazaar? It seems as though initially this was sparked by money changers, and the so-called bazaaris closed the bazaar, and they're normally is assumed to be close to the regime. So what do we make of them closing the bazaar essentially in protest?
Well, that's a very interesting question, because we are not very clear whether this was the closing of bazaar was truly spontaneous and the result of the skirmishes, the little skirmishes that took place a little bit higher than the north of bazaar around Manoucheri Avenue, where there is the place for money exchangers and places, you know, offices and the people even on the street who do that. And the bazaar is so many kilometers south of it. And there are some notes that there were some tweeters going on yesterday about closing of bazaar, encouraging the bazaaris to close. It is not clear who those people were. Now, the other thing that we have to keep in mind is that the protests against in Iran has different possible targets. That is, one is Ahmadinejad, the president. The other is what is called the system, which essentially means the supreme leader. Now, this demonstration has been clearly organized against or has been moving against Ahmadinejad. Now, there is this conflict within the government itself. That is, Ahmadinejad has been under attack by those close to the supreme leader in the last few years. Well, it has been actually last couple of years, but intensified even last couple of weeks. And now it is not very clear whether this demonstration is so-called a democracy movement type of a relationship with the issues of high prices and things about the, you know, people's livelihood, or it is something that it could be possibly instigated by those against Ahmadinejad and for the supreme leader. It is not clear. And in fact, even if it is as such, it may turn out something that they didn't expect. Because some of the, a couple of the slogans were about, most of the slogans were about the high rate of exchange and asking the government to reduce the exchange and make it into half, etc. And there was one slogan that people were shouting, and that was more. It was much wider than Ahmadinejad, and that was, "Leave Syria alone, on its own, and come and help your own people." This is a slogan against the regime, against the Khamenei and the supreme leader and the security forces. So how it is going to turn out tomorrow, we don't know. I don't know. But there is also another issue, that the movement of the security forces was relatively relaxed. usually they are very brutal on these type of things. They don't give any chance for anyone to move. Now, Larry Johnny, who is the Speaker of the House, was supposed to give a talk today against an interview that Ahmadinejad had a couple days ago, where he said that everybody is attacking me, then don't let me do my job. They should know better. We are under sanction. We are under pressure. And why don't you help me? And the other side, of course, is saying, well, Ahmadinejad is not doing his job, etc. So I think this is an unknown situation, and it might very well be a movement against the regime, or turn out to become like that, or it would be a preload to pulling Ahmadinejad on a chopping block and getting rid of him, because there is some very intense confrontations within the regime.
Again, I'm speaking with Professor of Economics at Denison University, Sohrab Behdad, and we're discussing the riots or the demonstrations that took place in Tehran today near the Grand Bazaar and the area in front of the central bank. As you just mentioned, Sohrab Behdad, there is this, of course, ongoing battle between Speaker Larijani, who's apparently close to the grand, to the spiritual leader Ayatollah Khamenei, and the nominal head of the government, Ahmadinejad, who he's a lame duck, isn't he? I mean,
yes, his term is going to be finished soon. In June, there is a new election.
And I don't know how. Obviously, you have a controlled press in Iran, but his trip to New York, they would have had to work overtime to put a positive spin on that, wouldn't they?
Yes. Well, he was actually very tired and not as, forceful and, forthcoming as he used to be in his previous trip. So it looks like he's a tired man and he's under pressure. But I have to say this, that there is a whole lot of pressure on Iranian people, because the sanctions have really done very much harm to the livelihood and life of people, because Iran's main income, foreign exchange revenue, is from oil. Oil production and export has declined drastically. But even more important than that is Iran is not able to move the money that it earns from selling its oil. And also, Iran has about $80 billion worth of foreign exchange, but it does not have much access to them. So the result is a shortage of foreign exchange. And the shortage of foreign exchange for Iran is quite important, because it's about $70 billion worth of imports last year. Now, this year, they have to cut that. And they not only they don't have money, they cannot make the payments. Therefore, a lot of things that are imported to Iran are going to have been reduced. Now, about 80% of imports to Iran are intermediate and capital goods, essentially goods that are used in the production process, which means if those are not imported, factories will not be able to work. And if they are not able to work, not only the output is not there, but also many people are going to be unemployed, which has been going on over the last particularly over the last year as the sanctions have become harder. So if with this confrontation within the government and the pressure that it is on people, scared of a situation that's going to happen, all the wars of talk and et cetera, people have moved into converting their savings into dollars. And there is so-called, we call it a speculative movement. This speculative movement shot the foreign exchange rate. Now it is 300%, 350% of what it was last year. So that much of an increase in foreign exchange in a country that is so reliant on imports, it is going to be quite rough. So life is very rough in Iran for people, and the prices are going up. Inflation is hitting everywhere. So people are very disturbed, and now this might be a situation that would spread quite quickly. So we don't know. We have to see and watch what happens.
Again, I'm speaking with Sohrab Behdad, who is a professor of economics at Denison University and previously was on the Faculty of Economics at Tehran University. And we're talking about the demonstrations today where tires were set on fire and rubbish bins were set on fire, and there were a number of arrests as crowds chanted anti-government slogans in front of the central bank and in around the shops of the central bazaar. And the bazaaris, as they're called, closed the bazaar, closed the shutters in sympathy, apparently in sympathy to the protesters, protesting, of course, the dramatic drop in the value of the rial against the dollar that Sourav just mentioned. You also said earlier about how people have, in these crowds demonstrating are saying, you know, stop supporting Syria and take care of people at home. Those kind of sentiments were also expressed on the day that they celebrate in solidarity with Palestine. I can't remember what it's called, maybe Al-Quds Day.
Quds Day, right.
Yeah. Similar, I talked to a reporter that was there, one of the few Western reporters in Tehran. He told me that people were shouting, you know, why are we giving money to the Palestinians? Let's take care of Iranians. So now they're saying the same thing about Syria. That, of course, does that mean that the Ahmadinejad foreign policy is unpopular, that this kind of idea of the great Persian Empire that Ahmadinejad often refers to in a kind of, you know, megalomaniacal way, is that unpopular at home?
Well, we have to be clear here. The foreign policy is the monopoly of the supreme leader. So whatever connection is with Syria, with Lebanese Hezbollah, and any other groups that in the region or in Iraq, it is decided and promoted by the supreme leader. So Ahmadinejad and his foreign minister are at most executors of the decision of the supreme leader. On the issues of the nuclear negotiation, it is the supreme leader who is totally in charge. So Ahmadinejad is actually, it was with little power, especially since last year, and he has some executive power within the ministries, but when it becomes something that has to do with the major policies of the regime, as Iran they call it, Nizam, the system, anything that has to do that is coming from the supreme leader. And they are the ones who, he is the one, and through his, well, the supreme leader has a very large bureaucracy and members, and he has a representative in everywhere. So it is actually the executors and decision maker of the major policy decisions.
Well, my
including the foreign policy, excuse me.
Right. But my understanding is that apart from the supreme leader, really the most powerful man short of the supreme leader is the head of the Quds Force, General Suleiman, right?
Well, the various parts of the Revolutionary Guard, now Quds is a part of that also, are very powerful. But there are, again, of course, we don't know who is the arm of who, whether the supreme leader is the arm of the Revolutionary Guard or Revolutionary Guard is the arm of the supreme leader. But it is in unison that the two act. So whatever that is heads of the or the various heads of this Revolutionary Guard say, it is generally interpreted as a statement that is coming from the supreme leader. Otherwise, they would not say it. Or if they do and they make mistake, they have to come apologize and change their words and say, well, that interview was not correct, etc. But, those policies are with him. Now, Ahmadinejad is taking a nationalistic view for at least last two or three years, and it is quite apparent. For example, in his interview the other day, which became controversial in what he said because he was very forceful in his attack on the people who are intervening in the work of the state, and that is the presidency, etc. He never used the word Islam. He talked about Iran is very powerful, Iran will do this, Iran is the old nation, etc. But he never said Islamic countries or the power of Islam, etc., which is the language of the Supreme Leader. He did not use that. Clearly, he wants to separate his line. As he sees he's becoming the villain in the confrontation with the Supreme Leader, and he might at any time will have a destiny that was similar to the first president of Iran, Bani Sadr, who had to run away from the country and take refuge someplace, in France, that is. He might have that fate any time before the end of his term, because it is considered that he's done and finished with. And they're waiting for the end of the term. So far, they have been the Supreme Leader after a couple of conflicts that they had a couple of years ago. About he was acting as a renegade, was not listening to Supreme Leader, and he was considered to be impeached, and some were considering that. And it was understood and it was said that the Supreme Leader said he would rather have him just finish his term quietly. So now whether he can finish his term quietly or not under this present circumstances is not for sure.
Well, just in closing, Sohrab Behdad, obviously we've heard a lot of speculation about a war between Israel and Iran even before the elections. Prime Minister Netanyahu has been quite belligerent, and he had that speech at the United Nations where he had that cartoon picture of the bomb and basically drew a red line and said in the spring Iran will cross the red line, implying that there'd be war in the spring. But, of course, what Obama and others have obviously been trying to restrain him by saying, look, let the sanctions work. Well, our discussion indicates that the sanctions are working. So does that put Netanyahu out in the cold?
Well, Netanyahu has his own problems, of course, in the domestic arena, you know, what is going on in Israel, and he wants to maintain the position it has. But what is interesting in this context is very clearly now, perhaps for the first time in terms of the United States government establishment, the issue of Israeli interests, that is, Israeli government's interests, and American interests are putting against each other. That is, Obama in his recent talk said, well, I listen to or I consider what is the interest of the American people, not the noise that comes from around, and we're referring to Netanyahu. Well, this was not much the case before. And it was, you know, nobody who dares saying such strong statements about the divergence of the two interests here. So, yeah, it is Netanyahu probably is doing that. He wants to sort of egg on the U.S. president to get into some kind of war. Or to some extent it is, if he knows what the outcome is and the U.S. is not getting into it, it's a some psychological warfare that is pressing Iran, and which unfortunately the psychological warfare works against this whole process because it has strengthened the most reactionary, the most warmongering elements of the Iranian society, which is essentially the army, the guards, and elements around it. It's very unfortunate that this comes up, because any process toward peace will weaken the government of the Islamic Republic. Any move toward war would strengthen it. And that is very unfortunate that these forces are working that way, even though they think that their interest is the other way.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today, Professor Sohrab Behdad.
Well, I am. Thank you very much.
And I've been speaking with Professor of Economics at Denison University, Sohrab Behdad, who taught at the Faculty of Economics at Tehran University from 1979 until 1983. From 1992 to 1995, he was chair of economics department at Denison University and was president of the Middle East Economics Association and is now co-chair of the Middle East Economics Association's Committee on Human Rights and Academic Freedom. He's also been on the editorial board of the International Journal of Middle East Studies and the associate economics editor of the Middle East Studies Association Bulletin. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back in a moment talking with the two filmmakers of a new film, We're Not Broke.